we read from the Gospel of Matthew. Going out about 5 o'clock, he found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day long?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." And he said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came and received the usual wage, when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them got the usual wage also. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and yet you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I'm not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last." And so the Gospel of the Lord. Today's Gospel reminds us of God's generosity and how God may act at any time to meet our needs in remarkable and unexpected ways. For me, it suggests that God's greatest gifts may come to us in spite of all the difficulties, and if only we hold ourselves open to the extraordinary generosity of our God, yes, even for me. The last will be first. The first will be last. A remarkable equality. This can serve as a nice background for the feast we celebrate today, the Queenship of Mary. As I see it, the feast is a challenge to our sense of poetry, finding exactly the right words to convey the meaning of our wish to honor the Mother of God. Careless associations, while often made with the best intentions, can undercut even the most generous intentions and render our souls silent and inert. Names and titles are important and require both accuracy and beauty. I recall an afternoon at our house of studies when our local pastor was visiting and putting on a sort of retreat day for his parishioners. Father Mark is an attractive, dynamic individual, most successful pastor, and simply a lot of fun to be around. His parents were there, and it took me only a little while to realize that the parents really resented being introduced as Father Mark's parents. After all, these people had names and lives of their own, and we would never know or value them unless we move beyond the well-meant but superficial title of Father Mark's parents. We suffer a similar challenge with today's feast. When I say Mary, the words Mother of God immediately come to mind. When I probe more deeply, words like friend, companion, dearly beloved Mother of Jesus suggest themselves. In your prayers, you can profitably add to the list. For me, the word queen never occurs. The word is freighted with associations that I find antiquated and even odious. From time to time, I love to visit the farm in Ireland where my father grew up. My cousin Tony delights to take me out and point up field toward the mountain where the Black and Tans fired at my father during the Irish Wars of Liberation. The story gets better every time I visit. Only a low fog and my father's familiarity with the terrain saved him. So while I can make some sort of accommodation to what is meant by a royal title, I would never submit myself to such an arrangement. As we seek words for prayer and praise, we encounter such a challenge in new and old translations and even manners of prayer. Charismatic exuberance is not for everyone, nor delight in archaic language. This is a challenge for people today, and I see that a better understanding of the function of poetry is most helpful as we form our language of praise. I'm not a poet, but I pay a great deal of attention to poetry, even to reading recent poetry journals. The right word or phrase can be a magic thing and open a world of wonder and beauty and meaning. Thoughtless repetition, rushed words, oh, especially in praying, careless usage can destroy language and meaning. Presently, we Catholics have been introduced to a new translation of prayers that's little more than a transliteration of Latin text. And while the Latin gains remarkable beauty through a subtle interplay of subjunctive clauses, in English, we find beauty in the correct verb and a clean, clear, concise sentence. As one perceptive pastor commented over the new translation, "All right, but what comes next?" I think he shares my conviction that we're only halfway there, even perhaps have gone backward a little ways. So with a feast like today, we have work to do. How do we pray, honor, love Mary beyond the words that we find dated and troublesome? What is the intention of the living church, the sense of the praying community, if you will? Here, one would wish to have the greatest skill with words, and yet we can let the sentiments of our hearts well up and together speak words which will express the esteem and wonder, the love in which we hold Mary, the Mother of God, and our Mother as well. Sometimes the spiritual journey can be lonely and confusing. So one of the nicest names to me that I could ever think of is call Mary a companion and friend. Then I might add, to all peoples. And then prayerfully extend that to Mother of us all. And then on to a beautiful reflection of the beauty of God, of God's own life itself. Mary, you are so pure, so wonderful. You're the image of the divine, so real that you brought to birth Jesus, the Savior of all mankind. Companion, friend, mother. As you work through the day, add your own words. Simple, direct, homemade, beautiful. The words of your heart now joined in admiring, loving, in admiring and loving union to Mary, the Mother of God, Sister of the Poor, Beauty of the Everlasting Dawn, Delight of the Angels, and yet our Sister, our Friend. Mary, we delight in you. Mary, no more lovely a name.